One of my favorite and deliciously frightening scenes in movie history is the scene in that summer classic shark movie, Jaws. We all remember that movie. That moment in the movie when Richard Dreyfuss is casually leaning over the deck of their little tugboat, I think it was, and suddenly this great monstrosity lurches up at him over the hull. I still remember the screams in the theater at that moment. We've been waiting and waiting in the movie to see this shark, and finally we do. When we all see the dreaded shark for the first time, anyway, in one of the all-time classic movie lines, Dreyfuss stands up, rushes to the others, and quietly says to them, "I think we're going to need a bigger boat." That's the way life is. Sometimes we have to make practical decisions based on what we observe. It had been an exceptional day. Jesus had been healing and teaching in a deserted place all day long. The crowd around him was massive, reaching as far as the eye could see. And the need before him was endless. And now evening was coming, and like it or not, it was time to make a decision about wrapping things up. No one could blame Jesus for losing track of time. After all, his job was to attend to the spiritual needs of those around him. Thankfully, his disciples were more than willing to take on the role of executive assistants, the detail men who took care of the behind-the-scenes jobs. And they were the ones who noticed the setting sun and heard the growling stomachs. So it was time for them to approach Jesus with a proposal. They said, "Lord, this is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." You see, sometimes we need to make practical decisions based on what we observe. Yes, the disciples were correct. It had been a good and fruitful day. But now it was time to end things on a positive note before things started to get too complicated. However, Jesus was not concerned about practical decisions based on observations. He told them, "They don't have to go anywhere. You give them something to eat." And now the disciples had to think on their feet. What could he possibly mean? Perhaps if we prove to him that it's just not practical to say this, then he'll understand and bless us and send us on our way. And so they scoped out the crowd and gathering all that they could find, and they ended up bringing to Jesus a measly 5 loaves of bread and a couple of small fish. "Here now," they concluded, "when he sees this, he will understand the situation and finally send us home." But what Jesus did was this. He took the bread and he took the fish and he blessed them and he told the disciples to pass them out. And lo and behold, there was abundance. Plenty for everyone. In fact, there was so much abundance that each of the 12 disciples got a gift basket to take home with them. That's the story of the feeding of the 5,000. It is the only miracle story that we find in all 4 Gospels. In fact, it comes up twice in Matthew, as well as Mark, Luke, and John. So we know that this story was important to the early church. Remember what these churches were like. They were still in their birth pangs. They were struggling to survive in a very hostile world, facing extinction at every turn. The church always faces immense struggle to be faithful and to do our mission, doesn't it? As long as this church consists of human beings, we will always fall short of our calling. So what can we do? Today's parable teaches us. We empty our pockets, we open our baskets, we offer what we have, our own fish and loaves, and we offer them all to the Lord. And of course, it will never be enough. it will always fall short of what is needed. And it is oh so tempting, therefore, to keep our baskets shut, to keep our lunch in our knapsacks, our hands in our pockets, our voices silent, having decided in our own wisdom that it's just not practical to offer such a pittance, such a little bit to the Lord. Because you know what they say, sometimes we need to make practical decisions based on what we observe. And when we observe what we have within ourselves, it's not much. And we say, sorry, Lord. But you see, friends, it's not up to us. It's not up to us to decide these things. Jesus alone is the evaluator of our gifts. Jesus alone assesses worthiness, not us. And time again in this church, throughout the Bible, throughout our history, here's what Jesus does. Jesus takes, Jesus blesses, Jesus feeds. Jesus takes, Jesus blesses, and Jesus feeds. Now, this is a dangerous point in my sermon. There's a dangerous temptation before me as a preacher, and that is to turn my sermon into some sort of power of positive thinking pep rally, like the children's story of the little red engine that could. We all know that one. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. We used to drive our children crazy when they were little in our house with a favorite little ditty of ours. We used to say, you know, you can do it if you put your mind to it. They hated that one. And so today, church, what I'm telling you is not about rolling up our sleeves or more effort or a better attitude or shaping up or pulling yourselves up by your bootstraps, because I'm not trying to convince you that if you just had enough faith or the right kind of faith, or if you showed enough trust, that Jesus will reward you. Because there is no good news in that. There is no gospel in words like these. Because it's all on you. And that's never good news. And besides, this is not what the parable's teaching us today. Jesus tells us that Christian ministry never flows out of or is dependent on what we do or the quality of what we have to offer. We, as our story reminds us, have precious little to offer. We are all so very needy, sitting among the 5,000 on that hillside. The whole crowd of us, we're there. But that's the very point. The story's not about us or the fish or the bread. It's about Jesus and what he does. Welcome to Christian ministry, disciples. The story is about the presence of Jesus in the middle of need and how his presence makes all the difference. Because if truth be told, there wasn't much that our measly fish and loaves can seem truly pathetic indeed. And this body of ours called the church, with our meager offerings of fish and loaves every week, every time we serve. But these words, the story today should encourage you, church, when you hear today's gospel. Be encouraged. Recall all the times in our history when Jesus has time and time again taken our offerings, our fish and our loaves, and brought light and life to the world through them. When do we sin? We sin when we make decisions we have no authority to make. Decisions that our fish are rotten or our loaves are stale. I say it again, this is not our decision to make. We gather under the resurrection every time we meet, and resurrection has implications on your life. For if Jesus is risen, then he is in the midst of us this very day. And if Jesus is risen, he will feed us with word and sacrament this very day. And if Jesus is risen, then he waits to receive your offerings, your talents, your treasures, your time, your very life given freely to him each and every day. He decides where to lead. He decides what to do, with these offerings. You and they and all of us belong to him. Thanks be to God. A Lutheran bishop from Bavaria, I lost track of his name, speaking about 100 years ago, once said this. He said, "In everything that is taught and believed and loved and suffered and planned and thought in this church, Jesus Christ is himself daily repeating the washing of the feet of this church, which have daily been soiled on its journey. And he must follow up everything that people do in this church, even the most shining deeds, and in some way set them straight and make something good out of them." This puts everything into perspective, doesn't it? It's all on Jesus. All of our offerings, all of our gifts, our very lives, they fall so very short. Our fish and our loaves are completely inadequate. Our feet are soiled in every step we take. And yet our delightful promise, our gospel, our good news comes from Jesus as he walks beside us and leads our mission. He kneels continuously, washing our feet, washing us, standing us up, declaring us clean in baptism, whole and beloved, and then he sends us out. Resurrection has implications. If Jesus is risen, as I've said time and time again, then he is here in this room. He's present in this meal we will soon receive. He is present in his word, heard and proclaimed. It's only fish that we offer. It's only bread. It's only our broken and bruised selves. And what does our Lord do with them, with us? Jesus takes. Jesus blesses. Jesus feeds. Jesus takes. Jesus blesses. Jesus feeds. Christ is risen. We offer. Christ is risen. We offer. Take us, Lord. Bless us, Lord. Feed us and send us. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.